Please be seated. People ask me a lot of times what my favorite part of this being a priest is, and I always say weddings and baptisms, and I've gotten to do both this weekend, so it's been a great weekend. But I tell people all the time that I love baptism. Baptizing people is one of my favorite things about being a priest. I love baptizing babies, and I love baptizing adults. And most people think when I tell them this that it's because the kids are cute, and they are, and I do love babies. We talk about kids most of the time, though, as if they're little angels. But pretty early on, they start to learn somehow, sometimes, to be mean to others. Not all kids, all of the time, but a lot of them, a lot of the time. Even siblings can be mean to each other a lot of times. Actually, sometimes even more to their siblings than to others outside the family. After all, siblings know how to push each other's buttons. They know the things that their brothers and sisters fear or dislike or are self-conscious about. And whether they learn it at school and then bring it home, or learn it at home and bring it to school, the end result is that many children end up being not little angels, not like they are as infants, but at least for some of their peers, a source of unhappiness or even fear. I guess because I have young children myself and school just started up again, I have learning on my mind, and not just academic learning. We send children to school in order to learn the things we believe they need to know to live a good life. We send them to school in order that they might learn about their heritage, their language and literature, about how the universe is structured, about mathematics. But they also learn how to make fun of other kids for the way they dress or act. They also learn, many of them, that the lessons we teach them in church are meant only for Sundays. Kindness and gentleness begin to be perceived sometimes at school as weakness. Most of us have heard the part of the gospel where Jesus says to the disciples, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And I used to understand this to mean, before I started teaching nursery school, before I became a parent myself, that we need to have the innocence of children in order to live in the kingdom of heaven. But what I believe now is that Jesus isn't saying that children are incapable of doing wrong or behaving even cruelly. He's saying to his adult disciples that the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who, like children, are able to soak up learning like sponges, both for good and also sometimes for ill. And in order for anyone to begin to take part in the kingdom of heaven, what they've soaked up has to be the gospel of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of how to put that gospel into practice through faith. What we should know is that God has made all of us, just like our children, capable of soaking up learning like sponges. And the difference between adults and children is not that adults aren't able to learn, it's that our sponge already seems full. The difference between a child and an adult is that there's no question that a child still has a lot to learn about life. Their sponge is still very apparently absorbing information and knowledge. You know how to fill a sponge with a different fluid, right? You squeeze it out. You can squeeze it a little, or you can squeeze it bone dry or nearly so, and then you put it into the other fluid. There are some kinds of learning we do where we can just add more. If we're learning math, we can add geometry, algebra, and calculus to our times tables and long division. If we're learning to read, we can move from kids' books, you know, Peter Rabbit and Winnie the Pooh, to great literature, War and Peace, or Moby Dick. And we can do that with most subjects. They're cumulative, right? They add on to each other. But life doesn't work quite like that. It isn't simply a matter of adding a little more life experience on top of existing life experience, like another column on the multiplication tables. In our faith, there are rights and wrongs. and wisdom gained from the experience of both in life. But wisdom isn't automatically gained. If I go to school and learn math, science, and how to bully other kids, and then later on become a boss who bullies employees, well, that's not wisdom. That's something I've added to my sponge that's preventing something good from occupying space in there. If I have a bad marriage and get divorced and then learn how to be a better spouse to my next partner, well, that's wisdom. If I'm unable to learn anything, to accept responsibility in a broken relationship, then I'm taking the things that maybe contributed to the first marriage dissolving and transferring them to the second. Those bad habits and beliefs, unexamined, occupy the space that wisdom should occupy. Learning, and especially spiritual and moral learning, in both children and adults, is precisely like this. All of us contain things that should be in our sponge and things that should not. Wisdom is learning through Jesus what needs to go and what needs to stay, and also what we should absorb to take up the space left when we cast out what's sinful or wrong in our life learning. Remember that the kind of learning that Jesus calls both children and adults to do is the sort that allows them to live in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus teaches us, in essence, to squeeze out what's in us that hinders faith and soak up what's around us that will nourish it. We soak up the world's moral confusion, and part of that moral confusion is that we think that our fluctuations between kindness and meanness, our back and forth between honesty and dishonesty, are normal. Well, perhaps they are normal. It doesn't help that we live in a culture that doesn't any longer value real faith or kindness or moral strength, a sense of responsibility toward our neighbors. We've apparently decided to reward the most cynical and ambitious among us with our highest leadership roles. And what that gets us is the culture that we have today. We Christians are supposed to be the ones who show the world another way. But often, as soon as we leave this place, we'll lay aside what Jesus calls us to do because we don't think it works. Maybe we think we live in a different world than Jesus did. I said last week, and I've been saying for many years, that it is a fight that we're fighting inside of ourselves all the time to choose God's way, to choose to live honestly and honorably in a world that sometimes seems to penalize those who are honest and honorable. And it is a fight to choose to live in faith and gentleness. It's a fight that we're having inside of ourselves all the time, a fight to live in faith and gentleness among those who, instead of the gospel of Jesus Christ, have learned to be cruel, to bully, and to lie. When I was a kid, if someone called another kid a liar and it was true, then the liar normally felt shame, and those around him disapproved. That's what we all absorbed in our sponges. But somewhere along the way, that got squeezed out. I love baptisms, brothers and sisters, because I know that children and even adults suck up knowledge and experience like sponges. And then when the world squeezes them, what they've learned through life or faith or both comes back out of them. In other words, if they've soaked up sin and ignorance instead of the gospel, that's what they pour on the heads of those around them. The world baptizes us into its own life, if one can even call such a purposeless and chaotic thing life. The baptism of Jesus Christ is meant to wash away that chaos. When we pour the water over people's heads and the Holy Spirit descends upon them, child and adult alike, I'm praying that they'll absorb it and that it will displace or prevent sin because God enters in through that water. I'm praying that later on when the world squeezes, that what will come out will be decent and holy, and that the people we've baptized will be surrounded by enough other decent people that that's what they'll take back in too. I love baptisms because when someone is being baptized, for a very few moments, hope and grace are in the room. I love them because I see the people who I hope will surround the person with love. We use words here that people don't use very often outside of church. Respect, dignity, justice, peace. We renounce Satan here, and evil, and sin. We promise to turn to Jesus Christ and trust and love him instead of what is so often in the water that the world pours over us. And I love baptism because in spite of what we see in the world, I still believe that God can remake our souls and bring us into the kingdom of heaven. That's why we're here. Baptism is the beginning of our spiritual transformation that takes place over our entire lives. And it is also simultaneously God's conviction of the world around us, the world that we live in every day. We can't be who God calls us to be and remain as the world wants. In other words, are you willing to leave here today and live in hope and God's grace? Are you willing when the world squeezes you, when it squeezes your kids, when it squeezes your neighbors, even the person behind you in the supermarket line, to pour out gentleness and honesty and righteousness? Are you willing to protect the powerless from ignorance and cruelty? Are you willing to love all humankind but hate the lies and cruelty that human beings fall into? Are you willing to soak up God and leave Satan floating homeless and unabsorbed? I love baptism because baptism represents not just new life for the ones we've baptized, but renewal for those who are witnessing and worshiping together. Leave here and be different. Not just a little different for a little while. Soak this up and bring it with you. Listen to the words that we say and let them come into your heart and transform you. And when you're feeling dry, come back in here to be filled again.